The reproductive lives of salamanders may teach us something about reproduction in general. And a person who's doing that research is Marion University Professor Rob Denton. He has been awarded a grant to do that. And Professor Denton, I want to talk about the salamanders. Can you first give us an idea of why you want to study the species of mole salamanders?
Sure, yeah, I can do that. So this group of salamanders is really unique among all vertebrate animals in the way that they reproduce. So they exist only as females, but can sometimes steal reproductive material from males of other species. They have their offspring, and those offspring can be combinations of both mom and dad, and they have this really complex genetic scenario going on. And one of the reasons why we find that very interesting is because they're sort of somewhere in the gray zone between sexual and asexual reproduction. And they have this genomic scenario that is very different than other animals. And sometimes it's really interesting to learn from these things that push our understanding of what's possible in biology and see what we can learn about what's normal from studying those things.
Yeah, so when you say the reproductive material, what kind of male reproductive material do salamanders possess?
Sure. So like most amphibians, salamanders, males fertilize externally. So they'll lay down little packets of sperm in wetlands during the spring. Females will then come along and they'll pick these up and they use those to fertilize their eggs. And then they lay those egg masses that you might see in vernal pools throughout the spring here in Indiana and elsewhere.
Okay, so this begs another question. If they are taking the sperm from one species and fertilizing their own species with it, how does that not kind of cross breed and make a different species?
Right. So these females have a little trick to making sure that they stay independent from these other species. So the females typically clone themselves. So the offspring typically have all of the genetic material from their mother. But then when an occasional mistake happens and some of that genetic material from another male sneaks into the next generation, that results in a sort of hybridization, but not quite. One metaphor we often use is if I were to take a sample of my DNA, and I had a set of chromosomes from my mom, a set from my dad, but then I also had a set from an orangutan and a chimpanzee, but I was still a functioning normal human being. That's exactly what these animals are doing.
Okay. This is something, I think this is my first exposure to something like this. What is it that you hope to learn from it, and what can this teach us about biology in general?
Yeah, so as I said, oftentimes scientific discoveries happen when you study things that are at the margins and do things that are really different and maybe push the boundaries of what we understand being possible. And that's certainly the case for these animals. So this genomic scenario that happens in this group of salamanders presents a real challenge that would be fatal to nearly all other animals in order to manage this complexities of all this DNA smashing around in their cells. And so learning how they manage this could help us understand how those sorts of genetic incompatibilities get managed more broadly and teach us why other animals haven't followed this same path.
And you now have the access to $1.1 million from the National Science Foundation. What do you hope to do with that money?
Yeah, so this career grant from NSF is really unique in that it funds both research and the integration of research in teaching. And so it's really well designed for someone at a university like Marion, where you get to work side along students and do research, but then you also are active in the classroom and get to know your students really well in small classes. So this award is going to fund our lab for 5 years to hire people to work and train and learn how to do science, both inside the classroom and outside. New innovative collaborations with art and design here at Marion to talk about how we communicate science through art. And then research that's going to lead us down multiple paths, from collaborating with other universities to understand physiology of these animals to sequencing entire genomes.
The big question for the layperson, the person who may not be interested in the salamanders or their sexual habits, what is this project, what does it accomplish for those people?
That's a very good question. So I think my go-to answer for this type of question is that basic research is often the foundation for the discoveries that influence our lives. And sometimes that happens in a very guided way where people have a very specific question, they answer it. Other times those answers can come very surprisingly. And so one of the reasons we do this is just to understand the natural world better, because those understandings can snowball together and influence some of the medicine and healthcare and modern things that we enjoy learning from biology, but also because these animals aren't that different from us. They also have chromosomes. They also have to reproduce. They have genetic incompatibilities like we do that are related to diseases and infertility. And so understanding how they can efficiently handle all these things can transition to understanding how other animals can't.
Is there anything that I haven't asked that you think is important to point out?
Oh, my goodness. Good question. I would just probably point out that this award and what makes this award different for somewhere like Marion is that there's a new kind of a newfound mission for research here at this university. And so combining research as teaching, so students kind of reaching their highest potential as learners by generating new knowledge through research, and how valuable that is to their experience and how fun it is to do that someplace where you get to know students really well in small classrooms, is a really fun part of my job.